Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, let's title of this thing. Don't title again. I'm not in love with you,
rolling, Bob.
Check, check. Howdy. It is Thursday, May 2nd, and I am parked in the road trek at Bluffers Park on a very foggy day. It was a wonderful coming down the hill, like it was just, you know, the beauty when you see bare trees in fog, they're just getting these silhouettes, these thin lines against this mask of gray. It's quite beautiful. Anyway, I was going to do something different today. I was going to record on one story. I was going to fix it on one story and maybe even release it that way. I was going to try something new. I got it in my head. Okay, you know, because I just, this preamble I'm giving you now is usually not, maybe not of much interest to people. But for me, it's priming the pump. It's necessary for me just to warm up to the topic, to get into it. And that sometimes takes a lot of words. And that's why an hour gets filled up very quickly. I have another podcast I haven't even released yet, already recorded. I'll put that out today. I wanted to record yesterday, May 1st, because it was a special day. It was the beginning of a new era in Japan. And I thought that was pretty interesting. I don't know if I can find the era is... Reiwa. I was born in Showa. People I was drinking with last night were all born in Showa. I was Showa 23. You had to learn that when you went to Japan, because that's what went on official forms, including our Roman calendar and the current dates. You had to know what era of the particular emperor's reign you were born in. And so yesterday, May 1st, marked the abdication of the current emperor, who I had the pleasure of meeting briefly, but him and his wife, which was a wonderful experience. And the start of this new era as his son, Naruhito, took over the imperial throne of Japan. So it was a big event. It was a big deal. I know other people might have celebrated May Day, and things like that, but for me, this was the news. Both my children were born in Heisei. Showa was enlightened harmony. Now, of course, that took you right through. That was Emperor Hirohito, who people had mixed feelings about. That one that took you right through World War II. Heisei was achieving peace. And Reiwa, what we're in now, starting just yesterday, is beautiful harmony. And that's how the era is supposed to be known. That's what we hope it leads to. It's when you think of the state of the world and the religious wars and uprisings and the amount of hatred and fighting that's still going on all over the planet, it's hard to imagine beautiful harmony, but it's worth striving for. So that's why I wanted to talk yesterday. I made a couple of notes. The term for the new era is made up of the two characters, Re and Wa. Reika mean commands or order, as well as auspicious or good. Wa often means harmony. So there you go. Yeah. Yesterday, our good friend Jeff came back from Japan. He's the fellow who I've mentioned him. He was known as Etobicoke Joe. So Etobicoke Joe is now living on the island of Shikoku in Japan. He's working, teaching adults English. And is quite happy. He's been there 2 years. and is just now here to visit his son and his parents and a few of his friends. That was the gathering last night at the Jersey Giant, and he'll be heading back next week. So that was his ambition. He loved Japan. There's something about it he really liked. He has a couple of girlfriends there, and that's where he wants to be. So he just uprooted himself and took himself back to Japan. And he was a very good friend, a dear friend, and it was really nice to have drinks at the Jersey Giant and then go next door for a nightcap at See What, where I had a wonderful mocha porter. Now, in the midst of the evening, I stepped out for my usual toke. I had a roach and decided I can't remember which pot is in which, you know, cigarette joint. And so smoked the whole half. Often I just have two or three puffs. Is it strong? And that's more than enough. This time I smoked the whole half and got into a very nice groove. It was actually just the right amount. But from a distance, I was standing outside the Jersey Giant, looking up Church Street, and I could see a beautiful, you know, the steeple of a church, and it was a nice scene. And then I see this figure walking towards me, and I knew, okay, this man wants money. All right. And he comes up, and maybe he wants a hit on my joint. That was my first thought. And he quickly said, no, I don't want any of that. And he started talking to me. I noticed he had a hospital wristband on and a couple of sheets that he was trying to show me, listing his medication. And I thought, well, okay, so maybe he's saying, I need these meds and I don't have enough. Maybe that was his angle. And I couldn't quite understand him. It was hard to understand. He was a very thin, long-haired, kind of a scraggly figure. But I was mellowed out. I thought, I'll talk to him. I'm not going to just, no, I don't have anything, you know. I'll just engage him in conversation. And we did, and it went on for quite some time. And I guess to me, in the state of mind I was in, which was high, and this is often when I like to engage with people, it was very intense. I guess in some ways very enjoyable. And you'd think, well, how could it be enjoyable? You're looking at a man who's on the streets and poor. But according to Randy, that was his name, Randy has a place in Newcastle and just needed money to get the GO train and the bus back home. So earlier in the day, we started off in a men's group. It was a very good men's group. I'm backtracking here, but that's how this story ties together. We had our usual meeting in the lobby, a beautiful guest room, I guess, of a lovely condo where we meet once a month. And it's always a very good session. And yesterday there were 12 of us and got into serious talks about age and dying and mental incapacity and any number of topics of great interest, you know, because we're not skirting around, and the fellow who organizes these gatherings is a very experienced facilitator. So good talks, worthwhile. But at the beginning, somebody had come in with a lot of books and CDs he didn't need anymore. This is somebody moving from a house to a condo, wanted to get rid of his stuff. So right away, there's a, wow, a Hemingway biography, a big, fat 600-pager, Michael Reynolds Hemingway, the 1930s through the final years. So I figured, okay, maybe I'll take that one. And the rule was first come, first serve. And then I looked, and there's a lot of CDs around. There's a Leonard Cohen. Now, today, of course, it was old ideas when they opened up the Leonard Cohen. It was empty. A bit of a disappointment. Something else is brewed in Nova Scotia, put out by the beer, Alexander Keith. But what was in the CD was a CD by the Irish Rovers. It was Nova Scotia music, but completely different. Now, the catch of all was a little metal box with Beethoven's 9 symphonies. And on this last trip, I'd said, man, I need Beethoven. So to see this, I coveted that. I saw somebody pick it up. Oh, I wanted. Another one I picked up, which is kind of glad, it's the Andrew Lloyd Webber, all his music. Now, the problem with these things is when you see a stage production of Cats or, Jesus Christ Superstar, Phantom of the Opera, there's often something fantastic about the singing. And when you get a production sung by one group, one orchestra, one group, they never have the passion. They never have the intensity that you want. And it's just kind of flat, like a pop tune. So even though it covers, the three discs here, it's... I don't know how often I'll listen to it. Like JC Superstar, I have that on vinyl. And it's the one I'm used to, and I really like the way they sing it. And here, I just put on What's That Buzz? What's the Buzz? And it, no, that's not the version I want. So, anyway, the thing is, I felt a little guilty because if you remember back, I was talking about how I'm, what's that word? How could I forget to take advantage of other people? You're thinking for yourself. Oh my God, Ken, you can't have forgotten. It'll come to me. You might. You're probably shouting it out now. You do what's good for you. Well, I picked out the book and the CDs I wanted. Put them on a table where I was sitting in this room and put my hat over them so nobody could see them, nobody could pick them up and say, I want that. An opportunist. And I felt really bad, and when it was coming my turn to speak, I wanted to make a confession. I'm an opportunist, I've done something awful, I've taken the ones I want and I've hidden them so nobody else will take them away. And I felt bad about it. And it was just clear reinforcement. Yes, Ken, you are an opportunist. But the deal was, hey, take what you want. And most people weren't even interested. And so, in the end, it didn't matter. And now the funny thing is, I've got one. Well, the Weber one, it's not all that good. The Leonard Cohen was empty. The one CD had a different disc in it. So, but the Beethoven is a gem. Anyway, I left feeling blessed. Wow, this is amazing. So I took some money out of my wallet, $5, $10, and I thought, I'll just offer him something, because he said anything that doesn't get used today is going to go to a children's hospital for a bazaar. And I thought, well, I've taken this stuff that would have raised, $2 a book, $1 a CD, would have raised $5. I should give him, offer him the $5 to give. And he's, no. You just take that. That's the whole idea. I want to be rid of them. So I said in response, well, maybe I'll give that to a beggar or somebody. And then I thought, well, that's a terrible thing to say. I should have said a charity, or I'll donate something. But my thought was, next time somebody hits me up on the street for some money, I'm going to give him $5. And sure enough, last night, same night, here's me, hi, standing outside the bar. Randy comes up to me, needs money for the train. So I gave him the $5, but I, on the condition we talk a little more. I asked him if I could take his picture, and he said, sure. And unfortunately, I only took one, and he was moving his head, bobbing around, and it's a little blurry, but it certainly captures Randy's life. And I asked him, well, how did you get this way, Randy? I mean, and it was a real conversation, man to man. I didn't mind it. I said, how did your life get like this? Basically hand to mouth, living on the streets, begging for money. And he said, I used to go to Maple Leaf Gardens, and there's a guy called Gordon Stuckless. Well, if it's true, Stuckless was the man who preyed on young boys who would have them, hire them to do some work around Maple Leaf Gardens, or promise them tickets, or give him a hockey stick or something. But he sexually abused a lot of children. And there's been at least one suicide as a result of this, for them, when the story first broke. And a fellow came up and just couldn't live with himself anymore, like a life destroyed. So if Randy was telling the truth, that's just bloody awful, and this man should be getting some help and should have had some compensation to get his life right. If Randy was not telling the truth, then he's really doing an amazing job of begging, because if he could come up with the name of somebody that anybody who is informed lives in Toronto knows, the name Stuckless, wow, you've upped your game, man, because you're getting sympathy right there. But I have the feeling it might have been true. And maybe it's bad of me to even question whether or not it was true, but it was... It certainly gained my sympathy. The story ended kind of, and then at the end, just before he left, he said, it's not, I've had a bad day. It hasn't been a good day. And this is a raining, piss poor raining day. It was awful. It was cold. He said, I still don't have enough for the fare. I need another $350. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you all the change I got in my pocket. I reached in and had about $380 and handed it to him. But as he left, I held his hand. I mean, I held his hand and looked him in the eye. I told him to look after himself. I said, you got to treat yourself well. I want you to get home, get dry, get a safe place. If you got a place in Newcastle, get home. And take care of yourself. Get some help. Which may have been just deaf words, but it's not like this. This guy was coherent. I mean, he wasn't whacked out. He was looking down and out, but he wasn't strung out. He didn't seem like a junkie. What didn't seem antsy. The same way, that money wouldn't go very far. But anyway, it's just a coincidence that the day I received something and felt so blessed and so lucky. Look at me. I've got the complete Beethoven symphonies, which I wanted and would have bought for nothing. I can certainly spare this guy a little change. But I also told him as I held tight on his hand and got a real look on his face. And this is what happens to me when I get high. I said, you got to love yourself. I said, it's the hardest thing to do. It's the hardest thing in life to love yourself. But you got to love yourself, Randy. Forgive yourself. Love yourself. And I meant it, and it seemed very real at the time. And now that I relate this story, there's something about it that may sound phony. It may sound phony to you. It may sound like, here's me, privileged white male, feeling good because he helped a guy on the street and said nice things to him. And that sure turns it into an ugly story. It sure makes it sound like shit. But, I mean, my usual pattern is to dismiss people. No, leave me alone, Bugger off. Or, if I see some bigger woman at the shopping mall asking for money, trying to sell me a ring, I'll dismiss her pretty quickly, probably with rude words. This was Randy was actually an engagement. The fact that I took his picture, took his name, talk to him. It seemed different at the time, and now that I've told it, it seems pretty cheap and tawdry on my part, but I don't know. I'm trying to be honest. I always am. I still feel that connection with him. If I saw him again, I would for sure approach him and talk to him. I don't know what else I could have done. I don't have, here's a number to call Randy. I think he probably already knows the drill of where to stay and who to see. But it really, the disparity between my life, meeting a friend just back from Japan, sitting in a bar at a comfortable table by the window, ordering the beer exactly the kind I want. I think I'll have a brown ale next, Wellington Brown. No, I think I'll start with this. Give me the special today, the Steam Whistle, to go with my $9 burger and fries, which was delicious. The luxury of my life and the fact that I had all these gifts earlier in the day, and that could go next door for a nightcap at the Say What. The fact that my life is just so fortunate. I have it so easy. And here's a guy, same year, same time, same planet, same city, same sidewalks, having a much rougher time. And from the looks of it, it will just never get better. I mean, this is his path. It's not suddenly going to change. This is Randy's path until he dies. And that seems a little wrong. And I don't know, I don't really know how to end that, other than I guess I've just told the story. And I'd love to know other people's reactions to that, or, you know, what else should I have done? How would you have handled it? And so on. I guess maybe part of the story was just the impact or the effect pot has on me. It does, it's the same when I was in Windsor talking to that lady face to face. I mentioned in the last podcast of, I guess it's very hard to use this term, but in some ways these are almost beautiful exchanges. Oh, I say that and it's like I should be beaten. Like, yeah, easy for you to say. Beautiful for you. But for this other woman, for this woman who I just took the time to talk with and listen to and be polite to and help her into her taxi. It really was. Her situation wasn't the same. And with Randy, I did the best I could. I treated him with dignity. It was a pleasant exchange. All right. I'm done with this. I just don't know where to go from there. Scarborough Dude, signing out from Bluffers Park. I've got my road trek all set up. The tires have the proper pressure now, and the gauge is reading correctly. So I got stuff to do, so off I go. Thanks for listening. Bye for now. Do I have to go and ring the bell? Sure. Exercise. Walk to the front of the van. get up again when we're finished, I suppose. But for now, I'm going to sit back here in the back seat. Ooh, I was lying, but better not to, I guess. Yeah, I've got my feet up anyway against my very nice Canada 150 cushions. Doug Slater was the one who alerted me to that, too. Told me his local supermarket had some souvenirs for 150, including a T-shirt. And I bought these two cushions, and I'm really happy. One with a polar bear, and one just says, "Old Canada." Oh, a big moose and a pine tree. Old Canada 18. Yeah, they're lovely. They're lovely. I should take. I've probably already posted pictures, but that's what I should do for the cover of this issue. Anyway, not so important, I suppose, in the great scheme of things. I turned this on with the full intention of being honest. I was going to put an adjective in front of that, you know, very honest or extremely honest, and then it sounded a bit stupid as I played it back. Honest is honest. And I guess honest, in this sense, what I'm getting at is, well, will I tell them, you, the thoughts going on in my head? What was I thinking? Was I rehearsing it? You have thoughts, and they're living things, you know, and then there's feelings attached to the thoughts. So I was thinking about both my sons today and thought I should talk about them. What if they listen to this in the future, but they think, my God, that asshole never talked about us? I mean, it's mainly for privacy reasons. It just holds me back, you know. I'll talk in person, I'll talk to people about it, but don't record here. It's the same largely for my wife. But today, for some reason, I'm feeling a little sensitive towards it. I'd just like to, we'll talk about the exchange, I guess, I've had. Started off with number one son today. No, sorry, number two. And not only that, I'm not allowed to use numbers anymore. All right, Chuck. Chuck had to go to work. It's Saturday. We take turns giving her a drive to the airport. Just makes, you know, you can do it in under 30 minutes, and it's just so much easier than what he has to do during the week through the public transit, the TTC, and a bus, and a subway, and another bus. And to get to the airport's quite far from Scarborough, other side of the city. And often it's a time to drive, to talk, to listen to music, and so on. But today he needed his vape. He'd run out. So he wanted me, very simple, I asked last night, "Dad, can you take me to the vape store tomorrow on the way?" And sure. So he asked. It's, you know, you're probably thinking, it's a shame I have to ask. But yeah, of course, no problem. Maybe I'm thinking in my mind, gee, it's too bad you need that. And yet, I ask myself, don't pass judgment. It works for him. It's better than pills, you know. And he said that it helps me focus and sharp and something. So don't pick on that. That's his business. It's his issue. Anyway, this morning he needed it, and you know, before going in, he did say at one point he could buy a pack of smokes. I said, no, don't do that. Anyway, the place he normally goes to is closed, found another place. And then we just had at home a little bit of an argument. He was a little cantankerous mood, which I attributed to not having his fix. So, anyway, he found the place. A little bit of an argument at home about, you know, I just said, just give me the address. I'll go there. No, Dad, just Google it. Just, you know, and I'm saying, no, hey, I'm driving. You do something for me. Give me the address. I'll punch it into my phone. I like to know in advance exactly where I'm going. No surprises. And, of course, it was an easy place to get to. But there was an argument over that. And then when we got there, their machine wasn't on for the dividend. He said, oh, I got to go. I got to go to a gas station and use their ATM. And I said, well, I got money in my pocket. Here, just take this. No. And of course, I argued the point. Well, that's stupid. You know, why go to the gas station? Oh, there's a gas station. You know, just take my money. Pay me later. No, forget it. You know. And only now, the end of the day, that was, you know, at 9 this morning. Now at 5 or whatever time it is. Yeah, about 5. I'm reflecting that, hey, just as pride. I don't want to be borrowing money from you. This is my issue, my problem. Just take me to a machine and I'll get some cash. So he did. Unfortunately, I was right on, I can't remember the name of the street, Justice or something. There's a gas station. Get some. Anyway, I'm dragging this out. I'm very sorry. That's not the point. There was just friction. When we got to the airport, you know, it wasn't talking for a while in the car. It was pretty quiet. And anyway, when we got to the airport, as, you know, I'm dropping him off, he apologizes. And he does anytime this happens. And it means so much to me. I guess that's the only point of that story. Was it means so much, because I know he's genuinely sorry. And to be able to do at that time, as he's getting out off for work, saying goodbye, yeah, sorry if I was a little grumpy this morning, or whatever the words were, but it was genuine, it was out front, it was the right thing to do, and it just makes me feel so good. So I guess that's what I wanted to share. I wanted to share it with him, and that was it. I guess that's why I'm telling the story, because I wanted to share it with him and let Chuck know how much it meant to me that he'd just acknowledge that. Hey, yeah, I was in a bad mood. Sorry about that. You know, it's not, shouldn't be our normal way of communicating. So it's good. And having him at home and you know, living it, like, boy, parenting is a learning experience. It's a learning experience. And you always know you could do better if you got to take it over again. But that was a good exchange. And in the other one with, I realized, gee, it's a long time since I texted my number one son. Well, I can't say he's number one son, but the firstborn. Jerry. Just texted him, I guess, in the end, some words of advice. But then, again, he wrote back, said, yeah, that's easy for you to get into a zen zone and be grateful for all you have. You know where you are now, but hey. And what he read out, I guess, you know, it probably if this was authentic, if this was real, I'd read out the exchange. Maybe that exchange is of value right there. Yeah, maybe in another form. Anyway, I could understand his view, too. So I guess the point is, in both cases, you know, I'm sometimes too quick to make judgments or think I understand something and need to be corrected. And to do that, you almost want to be in that state where, yeah, I'm open to being better informed. I have so much, moving on, admiration and respect for the secular jihadists, the people who are leaving Islam. Another guy, I was watching his post today, and it was so brave and so honest and so well-educated and so thought out, and it wasn't somebody screaming hatred. It was just, hey, I've arrived at this point in my life where basically what he said was, I want it to be as easy to leave Islam as it is to leave Christianity. Now, that's not asking too much. You know, a religion that beats up on you, and even if it's not literally killing you in some countries, it's being ostracized from your family because of the public shame and, oh my gosh. You're like, hey, lighten up, guys. Loosen the grip. Anyway, that's just another, you know, mind wandering. I did have a toque in the backyard. That's how I came back in here with an item to add to my to-do list, stain the deck. I wrote it down, found two other things on that to-do list that I haven't touched and I know they should be doing. They nag at me. That's very light nag, not enough to get me to do anything, but it's there. Like, hey, you should have taken care of that, man. And, but I didn't have dates beside them, so they never come up, you know. I'd have to go looking for them. What was it around home I was supposed to do? So today I sat there and said, well, I'm not going to have dates. I can't. I don't want to. It's just, ew, it's too overpowering. And then I added dates for the reminders to pop up. Now, I gave myself time, you know, towards the end of May, beginning of June. So, you know, it was a month to put it off. Not like I put too much pressure on myself to get a quote for the damn driveway and walkway. But the thing is, it's such a big job. It's not even the cost. It's got to be done right. Like, hey, this is investment towards the end of selling the house. It's got bricks now. It's just, yeah, it's a front step that needs to be done more than anything. But the rest is cracked, the pavement. No, it looks shitty. And to have it done, the whole thing, You know, it could be $10,000, $15,000. I don't know. We have to go on a line of credit, you know, against the house. Anyway, so that's why I don't like putting dates on these things. Oh, shit. Staying in the deck was just be laziness. We used to make my son do that, but now that he's working, I can no longer boss him around. So, anyway, my eldest son, Jerry, turns 30 this year, and I think it's really got him down. There's a lot of points that he's sort of saying, and that was, again, the point of it was easy for me to give advice, and I did say that, hey, when I was 30, when I was that age, I didn't know what I was doing, and I was stressed out and worried about the future and didn't have this or that. But he's added in, you know, the worries of political far right and climate change and things that are that could get you down. So, anyway, I guess, I don't know if that was all honest or not, or as honest as I wanted to be or should have been. But I really am just doing my best. I did think of something, and actually this ties in nicely because I managed between last night and today to properly sync my iPhone, my MacBook Air, and my iMac for all the jobs I have to do in the summer, the 100 tasks for the Cummins Tour, and for the host families for each year, the database I'm building. And when I add up the numbers, wow. I've only got places for 13 girls out of 31. Uh-oh. That's at a minimum 9 new families, probably 10 more new families, and you know, unless a couple others come back who I haven't heard from. But anyway, it's a worry, it's stress. So I was going to go in tomorrow. I'm going to put on my Japan happy coat when I go into church. I've got pamphlets printed out to hand out, you know. And I asked for a minute spot. A minute spot is you have an announcement to make. You can't take up much time, but you can go to the front and make an announcement to the church. And I was just thinking about how to do it. And I don't know whether it was before the talk or after the talk. But I realized the only thing to do is, or the best thing, most effective thing to do is be honest and say, hey, I really need some help. That's why I'm here. I'm not trying to sell you something. I need some help. And then, of course, do the selling part, which is, somebody you know could have just an absolutely wonderful summer. 10 days this summer would just be a wonderful event. Somebody, you know, a friend, an acquaintance, a family member, a neighbor. But you have to find that person. You have to go out there and do it. Find me somebody. Yeah, I've got to be very careful how I do it. I mean, I can't just, certainly couldn't do it that way. Hey, find me somebody. Going to be a little bit of a build-up. There has to be a reason for it. There is, you know, there's extra money going to the refugee family, if that's a motivator, but it shouldn't really be the motivator. Giving these girls from Japan just such a wonderful time in a world full of tension. You know, this is beautiful. I mean, people who've been involved, and I know Greta and others, know it's a wonderful thing. They believe in it. It's not like I have to sell the concept, but I do have to get new families. And I don't know other ways, you know, to go about how do you find new families. I mean, I could ask neighbors here and there, but it's just been, it's always a struggle. It's always the hardest part of the job. Anyway, I'm tired of that topic. I guess I have mixed feelings, like when Yoko drove away in the car, the window was open, mine was open, I was here in the, you know, parked beside her, except I'm not moving. She's backing out, and she was off for the day, for the afternoon. I think she likes the free time. And goes about doing things. And that brought me a little guilt. You know, maybe I should have suggested, you know, let's go to a casino. They got cheap lobster. Something. I have been, but I mean, right now, lately, she's not wanting to spend the extra money. And that's understandable and probably a good thing. I've been pushing for Niji, let's go for sushi. But given that I've spent a fair amount of money, this little mini road trip tour I just finished, and Jeff being in town, and even just the little things, you know, I have to definitely be frugal. I do tip more than I used to because I realize how important it is, and And I always like, no matter where you are, having an exchange with whoever is serving you, you know, make it nice, make it easy for them. But I'm feeling a little edgy. So I guess that was after she left. Well, what's holding me back from having a toke? I never toke at home. Never toke at home. Why not? I'm in the back of the road truck. Why not? Isn't this the perfect place and time to do it on a Saturday afternoon? But I guess I might have sensed that, yeah, but, you know, sometimes it depends on the strain. And this particular strain that I'm always causes me this little bit of anxiety before a little bit of, you know, and maybe it's just there's an honesty and I'm seeing through my own bullshit. Maybe I'm seeing through my own what is it? Tinted glasses I wear, these rose-colored glasses that I pretend to see the world through. Oh, I'm fine. I'm all right. Everything's okay. And maybe there are moments like this when I'm thinking, really? I think so. I mean, I've always prided myself on what a good game it is. I mean, the game I tell everybody is, hey, I'm lucky. That's all. I just believe in my own good luck and it works. And I actually believe it when I say it, that I am, you know, I can almost say born lucky, and I know that's a ridiculous concept, silly, but it's like faith, right? If you believe something, sometimes it can work wonders. So, yeah, I guess I do have a kind of faith that things will be okay, man. But there's always these other voices, there's always these other parts of the brain, these fractured personality parts that jump up and jump on you, beat up on you, and yeah, you can't get away with that. Everything is horrible. The world's a horrible place. You can't be happy. You can't be content. A guilt, I suppose, for not doing enough. Anyway, you know what I'd be better off to do is just shut the fuck up and go back listening to Evita and the other CDs I've been playing from the box I picked up the other day. The Beethoven symphonies, I don't know if I know. I almost sounded like I was ungrateful when I mentioned the Leonard Cohen box is empty. Is that a sign, you know? And then on the five Beethoven, you know, the five discs for the nine symphonies, one of the discs was missing. Symphony number 2, something. And then that's when it becomes funny, you know. The different CD. Didn't I tell you all this? Yeah. Anyway. And me sort of complaining, well, it's, you know, they just don't sound like the singers you know. But the trick is, if you're listening to a CD of songs you didn't know in the first place, you know, you can adjust to the way they're doing it. So, yeah, all right. And especially with the lyrics, right? This is Frank Lloyd Webber. So let's get that back on. I left it off somewhere, I don't know. And I'll get back to faking it. Is that a slip? Yeah, I tried to be honest. I know some of you do appreciate it and think you're getting the real thing here. Oh, that's the beginning. No, we're not going to go there. That's a song for Barcelona, I think. Maybe for the Olympics. Thank you. I can talk about Mark Blevins here because I know he fast forwards through the song. So as long as this is playing, I can tell a story. Now, today I saw a picture of Mark and his dear wife, Andrea, and their two daughters. And everybody, of course, all teeth, all smiling and looking happy. And probably my first reaction was, oh, gee, that's really nice. They all get along so well. They're so close. They're so loving. And maybe glossing over the fact that maybe behind the scenes, uh-oh, you might be listening now. Well, I won't say his name. They might be fighting, right? They might be fighting. They may be having all kinds of conflicts that are just not revealed in that picture. But you do, Facebook makes you do that, reflect back. I see this picture, and it's a reflection back on to me, you know, what's going on? How come we're not doing that? I don't see smiling pictures of me and my wife, my son, you know, posted on Facebook how happy we are to see each other again after a gap. Of course, they, you know, one has left home, but even, yeah, I just don't see that. And so right away, you blame yourself, you know, you think, oh my God. What have I done wrong that there isn't this joy in the family? Well,
it won't be easy. You'll think it's strange when I try to explain how I feel, that I still need your love after all that I've done.
Finish that. I'm going to stop that. Some of you are regretting this, but I got to shut that down. No, I got to shut this down. check, check. Okay, it is Sunday, Cinco de Mayo. I am on the deck. It's the first sunny, warm day we've had in a very long time. And, well, you can hear the kids out playing. It's late in the afternoon. I was at church until 1:30. I gave my talk at the front, and I did a pretty good job of it. I don't know that I'll get any host families out of it. I'm still, boy, this is going to weigh very heavily on me. The fact that I've got 31 girls coming in so far, only places for 13 of them. This is the worst it's ever been for this time. It's still in May. I got June and July to, well, anyway, I did what I could today, and then Greta, the minister, suggested I contact Oasis and maybe mention it there. So, but a lot of those people live downtown, and downtown is not a good place to be living if you've got a student up to Lawrence and Pharmacy in Scarborough by 8:30 in the morning. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that because it just brings me down. I'm on the deck in the sunshine. Torta, our outdoor cat, is sitting right by the door, as always. That's his spot. Gosh, what to say. It's just such a lovely cat. It's a cat I would love to be able to put on my lap and pat, but he still runs. If I stand up now, if I get out of my chair, even though there's 6 feet between us, he'll just run to the steps. I don't know how I'm going to get him to the animal clinic either. That's going to be traumatic for everyone. Okay, where did I want to go? I wanted to, this is going to be a weird podcast, this one. Of course, yesterday I did get a little high. And, you know, things just went on. The business about seeing a photograph on Facebook of how happy every family is and thinking, well, I guess mine's pretty dysfunctional. When I did see my son, I was talking about how grateful I am that my son apologized for, you know, being a bit snippy. And he said, yeah, but you don't understand. Sometimes I don't understand you. You seem to argue about things. And so instead of accepting the apology, he went on to say why he gets so annoyed with us. And I'm sort of trying to say, gee, I'm sorry I brought it up. But one of the things he said, which really shocked me, he said, this bad energy in the house, this bad energy. And I never heard that phrase before. And it really rattled me. And I said, yeah, but, you know, like in the morning, my wife says, I can take him to the airport. And I'm saying, no, it's okay, I can. Well, it doesn't matter, you know, I can do it. And we're going back and forth, and really, we're sort of doing it out of consideration for each other. Don't worry about it. And she's saying, if you're tired, you know, I can do it. And I'm thinking, well, no, because Sunday I can't do it. I've got to be in church, so you'll have to do it Sunday. So, no, I'll do it today. And it's going back and forth, and it's first thing in the morning. He's hearing it, and maybe he's feeling, you know, not guilty, but funny about the fact that either one of us are driving him to work. But whatever the case, he thinks we're fighting. I said, we're not fighting. It's just, yeah, but the communication is bad. And the one truth, and I've said I was trying to be honest here, the communication in this house really is not good. I mean, between my wife and I, that sometimes we just don't know who's going to be where, when, in terms of, you know, who's doing supper, what, when. And other families, you know, I know my cousin's family, they'd sit with the children and plan out the calendar for a week because they're both very busy. They were both working full-time in very important jobs, and they just knew to get things. And each kid would have their night with their favorite meal and get to choose. And we never did things like that. There's so many ways. And I can look back at it, and I said earlier, you know, if you could redo the whole thing. But the fact is, if I could redo the whole thing, I don't think it would be any different. I think I'd be just be exactly the same. I don't think I'm going to change. And the fact that we have this cultural difference between us and the individual difference, and I cannot just blame it on cultural differences between my wife and I, it takes its toll. And I think the kids have grown up with that. I've said that before. Hey, I can look back and I can see the situation. And here I am in a lovely two-story brick home in Scarborough, a lovely home worth a lot more than we paid for it, sitting in a reclining chair, like one cat inside, one cat outside, sun shining on me, a deck that was just newly done a couple of years ago. You know, so much to be grateful for about the way my life has turned out, the way I've managed my life. And yet at the same time, I could take this same picture and just sort of zone in on the miscommunications and the lack of joy I've mentioned before and other things. And, well, hey, we are two unusual individuals, and I don't want to go on any more about it. But I know that for the children, they'll have to start theirs. I don't know how many, does anybody's children all turn out all happy all the time? You know, because you sort of think that's your goal as a parent. I just want to make my kids happy. I just want them to be happy. And yet we know for ourselves, no, life is not about happiness. I used to think that. You know, what do you want to be? I just want to be happy. But that's not life. I want to get through it. I want to learn. I want to get stronger. Well, those things I've done, I'm still learning. I want to grow. I want to, you know, deepen my thinking, my understanding, deepen my compassion. I want to be a better person. All these things. The knowledge bit I'll forget because I don't remember anything, so I'm not going to add. I want more knowledge. That ship sailed long ago. But the others are possible. I want to have greater awareness. Maybe a greater sensitivity. Oh. Anyway, this is just a little PS too, because I think I've probably already run out of time for this podcast. I know I didn't want to put one out right away because I had sort of made two podcasts out of that little mini road trip. And here we are. By Monday, I guess tomorrow, I'll probably put this out as the new one for the week. But there you have it. Dixon Janes, it's what you get. You asked for it, and you got it. And I think I'm exaggerating on the you asked for it part. Yeah, I've done my best, and that's not true. Oh, by the way, one more thing on this whole writing business that I keep talking about, the book that will never be written. I found yet another angle. I don't think I'll tell you about it, but I did find a whole new approach, and I did spend yesterday working on it, and you know, to some degree, to my satisfaction. So I'm going to go ahead a little longer with this, a little more, until either the idea burns itself out, I burn myself out, or I just realize, no, this is just another blind alley. We'll leave it at that. So maybe this is the end of the podcast. Maybe there's some music in here. Who knows? I've lost control of this one. I actually lost control of this podcast, and that's good. That's kind of fun. Like it has a life of its own beyond me. Sometimes a toke will do that, and I think that's what happened yesterday. So, Scarborough dude, your friend and mine, signing up with a smile, in spite of all of what I just said. Bye for now.